The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland in the hizzy.
Heyo.
Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. How you doing, man?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
See, you just creeping on up in that VSiN Killer Sports Challenge.
Bum, bum, bum.
Kelly Bidlin tie for third. Actually, in third place, if you really want to know the truth. Kazarian first, Fezzik second, Bidlin third.
Let's roll. Let's roll, baby.
Let's go, man.
Although I got to, I'm running out of selections. Like, I think I got to make two more.
Well, we're all running out.
Yeah.
We're all running out.
That's actually been annoying slash the fun part of the strategy of playing it, right? Of knowing that you've got to get 20 in.
Right.
So you're kind of going heavier earlier in rounds than I was planning on that.
By the way, what I'm referring to, in case you missed it, the VSiN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge. Killer Sports, where Carl Sack, formerly the NBA guru, Carl Sack, who comes on this show all the time, moves NBA markets when he releases plays. It was his brainchild, and it's 15 folks handicapping the NBA playoffs. Again, VSiN.com/challenge is where you can follow all this, and is a great way because it's 570 picks in all once we get through the entire postseason. So it's a great way to sort of follow what some of your favorite handicappers are doing right now.
Totally.
By the way, to your point, Fezzik was, and Fezzik is adamant. When he has a strategy, he has a strategy. He's like, that's why I put in all mine early, because everybody's going to put in theirs late. And so he was in the clubhouse at 13-7. 20 picks in the first round.
That was a bit of mine, too. I wanted to make sure I fired early, and then it kind of slowed down mid-round and got a little bit, a little pickier. You want to make sure you're able to get all 20 in, that's for sure. One other thing that's kind of tripped me up about the contest is you do have to, because I have screwed this up once, I think, last weekend, where you got to get all your picks in before the first game starts.
An hour before the first game starts.
Thank you. An hour before the first game. So if you are interested in what everybody's betting for the night, guess what? It might be the game that's later in the evening, but you're going to find out hours in advance.
Correct. So there's that. So check it out. Again, we'll talk NBA here momentarily. A little MLB May most wins update. In case you missed what we talked about yesterday, plus we'll update a development. Did I do that? We'll get into that. NFL Rookie of the Year odds. We were supposed to do this yesterday. We didn't. We were talking about random other stuff. Can't imagine what we were talking about that made that get bumped. Zach Cohen.
Must have been important.
and it's Zach and Crack today. Of course, it's Thursday. Zach Cohen, VSiN senior editor, to talk National Basketball Association and tennis from Madrid today. Oh, I have a tennis play this morning. And then Mike Somich, co-host of Ready, Set, Bet, to talk not only NHL playoffs with us, but the Derby, a little more than 48 hours away. Will our horse actually participate? We don't know yet.
American Promise?
Yes, I believe that's it. Why do we have so much trouble with that?
Because there was American Pharaoh. For me, it's that.
Yeah, I think you're right. American Promise. We'll see if American Promise is a go. Somich has bets to make, and he wants to share them with us, so we will allow him. And then, of course, the second part of that Zach and Crack show is Bill Krakenberger, unscripted, hour number two. Cannot wait for a Crack. Crack said we don't usually talk anything. He doesn't tease anything he wants to talk about, but you know the story about the kid who won all that money on some parlay, but then because he was circumventing the casinos, he's not getting paid, and everybody's chiming in on it. Crack says he has a different angle on it than everybody.
Interesting.
So we'll see what that's about. That's what they call a tease in the business.
Yeah, it sure is. I find all those stories fascinating.
I do too.
Just because it's been handled so differently, right? And everybody's got different opinions on how it should be, and then how it is, right?
Right. And we know some folks who have circumvented to glory because it was written in the casino's rules, specific wordage that, they could kind of get away with it. It didn't say you can get away with it, but basically the words were such that they could get away with it. So there you go. Well, we'll get into all that. As far as the NBA last night, two games, the first of which was a punt by the Warriors after 2.5 quarters. Rockets led by as many as 30. And Steve Kerr said, okay, that's just about enough. 5:50 left in the third quarter. He pulled everybody And then I actually texted the group text this. I'm like, Pat Spencer's frisky enough where this is going to get tighter, and then we'll see what happens. And sure enough, it did.
Pat Spencer
and Kevin Knox, wreaking havoc. And so Ime Udoka had to put back his starters into the game late. It was never close, though. Don't get me wrong. Rockets win at 131-116. They easily cover the 4-point spread in this one. And so that forces a game six back at the Chase Center in San Francisco on Friday night. Could be a standalone on Friday night. Game six back in Golden State, if you will. And that is Will Hill reminded me yesterday of this was very reminiscent. If you remember the last time the Warriors won the championship, the fourth of their four back in 2022, three seasons ago. The one where they beat the Celtics 4-2 in the finals. They played the Grizzlies in round two in the conference semis.
Yeah.
It was a very similar thing. They had taken one on the road to go up 3-1, and it was game five in Memphis, and Memphis just ran them out of the building, and they punted sort of halfway through that game as well, only to go back and win it back in San Francisco, or back in Oakland at that time.
Yeah, I feel like I saw that box score shared a few times yesterday, even leading up to the game, because, yeah. I mean... Yeah, tip of the cap to all the people that we had on the show. And then, man, I feel like everybody was on the Rockets last night, and I couldn't get there. But, man, that came home easy, and, I mean, the handicap was right. It was Rockets are out of the gate fast, and then Warriors, if they were down enough, were we going to see guys hit the bench? And sure enough, they did.
It went from 30-13, and the Warriors missed, like, five tip-ins.
Yeah.
That could have knocked it down to 11. Like, at one point... It did raise the volume of the announcers. Like, what is happening here? So anyway, they accomplished getting the Rocket starters back in there, whatever that's worth. But back to game six on Friday night. The other one, of course, was the closeout. Much more interesting. The T-Wolves and the Lakers. And the T-Wolves get it done. They close out the Lakers in five at Los Angeles. They do so behind the Rudy Gobert game. What a performance for Rudy Gobert. 27 points. And 24 boards, 9 off the offensive glass. When there's no one your size on the other team, it kind of helps.
It
kind of helps.
I mean, that was part of the handicap for me, obviously, this whole series, but for this game last night as well. But, man, it was, like, that part, it was just comical at times. Like, it just reminded me of, like, everybody who played high school basketball, you always ran into that one team where you're like, oh, great, they've got a 6'11 guy on the team.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to do? And it was that, because it's just like the best play the Wolves had in the first half, Gil, was like, I feel like they had 3 air balls that was like, oh, Gobert's there to just catch it. Like, I'm just going to catch it and put it in.
54-37 rebounding advantage for the T-Wolves in the game. Julius Randle added 23, and the best offense besides Gobert, you know, the throw to Gobert, you know, high up above everybody was Randle just taking the matter into his own hands. And the reason for that was, and this game, by the way, it was 103-96. The Lakers actually took a lead at one point, late third, early fourth. And you're like, how is this possible? I'll tell you how it's possible. You know how I always say the only stat you need in an NBA box score is 3-point percentage. And usually you can, if I see that, I can tell you who won the game. Not in this one. The T-Wolves were 7 of 47 from behind the arc. That's 14.9%. At one point, in fact, before Mike Conley sunk a 3 with just over a minute left to put the Wolves back up 6, they had missed 18 straight at one point. This game should have never been close.
I was so mad.
Should have never been close.
I texted you. I was like, at halftime, I was fully planning on being asleep already because this was going to be a 25-point game. And somehow I'm sweating out this bet.
The other thing I do want to say about this, though, and I texted you this, and maybe someone else as well, which is I felt like J.J. Redick lost this right in the first quarter.
He lost it before the first quarter.
He did. Well, he lost it literally, not literally, but you know, J.J. Redick had endured a lot of criticism, of course, for playing 5 guys the entire second half in game 4. Luka, LeBron, Achimura, Finney Smith, and why am I always forgetting? Oh, and of course, Austin Reeves. Yep. And so he apparently, you know, and a guy, some reporter asked a question and he said, hey, do you think you'll consult with your assistant or whatever? Or you think you'll lean on an assistant? And J.J. Redick lost his mind before the game even started. He walked out of the press conference, a little sensitive about that subject. And you were making a great point, I think, the other day, which is we didn't really see anything wrong with that. You're in the playoffs. Like, what else are you going to do if you're the Lakers? It's really your best it's really your only strategy here. And anyway, he way overcompensated for it yesterday in the first quarter. It's like mass substitutions, including Maxi Kleber, who hadn't played since January.
He's been injured basically the whole year. Maxi Kleber, he's been a part of playoffs for several years for the Dallas Mavericks, a familiar name for NBA fans out there. But, oh boy, at his age, it doesn't really answer the size problem too much. Yes, he's a bigger guy you could put out on the court, but he's barely played. And he's at, like, what, he hadn't practiced or had one practice with the Lakers? So, yes, Redick completely overcompensated, going too far the other way.
It was bad. That's it. Goodbye, Lakers. 1-2-3 Cancun. LeBron looked old. He looked tired.
Yeah.
He did. Supposed alleged face of the NBA per Wyatt Tomchek. LeBron looked very tired. Nice shot. From the back.
It was bad second half. I mean, like, the Lakers started to get the calls too. Like, I never liked to be that guy. But the second half, the whistle started to go their way on everything.
I mean, count me as the millionth person to say this, but good God, LeBron, really? Every time it's like you're dying on the court. Is that what's happening right here?
I forget the tweet or who texted me this. Sorry, but great tweet I saw of, like, this is the same LeBron James we all said could play tight end in the NFL when he went down like a sack of bricks on that one hit.
Yeah. Hey, man. It's 40.
Yeah, it was tough to watch that part.
T-Wolves go on. They'll play the winner of the Rockets-Warriors series, which is, of course, yet to be determined. Two games tonight. We'll see if we have plays. I do, by the way, in one of them. And the tennis play of the day as well. Coming up, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Derby Day almost here, but almost 48 hours away. Why not make your first bet your best bet? With First Bet, you can wager on Churchill Downs, Belmont Park, and tracks around the world, all from your phone. Go to firstbet.com, that's the number one, stbet.com, and enter promo code VSiN200 for a $200 sign-up bonus. Don't miss out. Bet smarter on the Derby with firstbet.com. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. This is a great tweet from Eric Biggio, our buddy who works over there at Caesars, William Hill. He does have a clarification. I forgot about this, right? So DraftKings did March, April, most wins. Circa did March/April. Remember, there was like five games, unless you were the Dodgers and Cubs, then you had like seven games in March before the month of April. William Hill Caesars only did April for the first go-round of this. So for them, it wasn't a dead heat. For them, the Mets won it outright. So thank you, Eric Biggio. Just a quick PSA. We had most wins for April only, so the Mets were the only winner in our shop. And yes, you and the ANG listeners did do that to our Padres price. Over 30% of tickets written on the Padres.
Whew.
Wow. So let's go.
That's a lot.
By the way, the Padres do not start playing baseball today on May 1st. They wait till tomorrow. Should probably point that out as well. So there will be teams ahead of us after
that. Maybe check back in. Like, it is not, like, you brought it up. Yes, I would expect, like, Circa will be down, right? I can almost guarantee you as soon as we get first pitch Circa that first game, down. Circa will be down. DraftKings might let it hang around
maybe
for a while.
Yeah, you never know.
So worth noting on that.
Never know. Zach Cohen joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is VSiN senior editor, part of the glue that holds this whole entire operation together. How you doing, Zach? Betting on X, by the way.
I'm doing well. How about you?
We're doing very well. Betting on X, your Twitter handle. Pardon me for stepping on you there. Before we go any further on this, do you have a Kentucky Derby horse that you're betting on, or do you steer clear of this?
I don't. I mean, I should, because my dad's a big horse guy. He probably is really disappointed that I'm not into horses, but I do not have one.
Okay. Just checking.
Your dad actually called me last night. He is disappointed. In general,
he's very disappointed. You don't happen to have a brother who's a pharmacist by any chance, do you? Nothing like that?
No,
nothing like that.
He is disappointed, though.
Yeah. That's common thread with all of us. Okay, to Madrid tennis. Do you have anything in Madrid left today?
Yes. So I have Coco right now, plus 1.5 sets and a little bit on the money line. I just kind of thought that Iga has looked, you know, beatable so far. Obviously, there's been some big wins. I think that she started to get a lot closer to the clay court Iga that we want heading into the French Open, because I did end up jumping on her at plus money odds to win that tournament. But I do think, you know, dropping sets against Keys, against Schneider, like, she's looking a little bit vulnerable. And I do think that Coco, when she gets on these heaters, you really want to back her. Obviously, she's a player that I have looked to fade a lot in the past, but when she is serving well and when she is hitting the forehand with confidence, she's really, really tough to beat. So I just thought it was a really good number to get on her when she's beat Iga twice in a row.
Great semifinals today. Coco against Iga, Svitolina against Sabalenka. Again, I'm on Svitolina.
Well, I feel like I've heard from both of you guys most of the season a little bit of a fade of Coco. Are we turning around on Coco a bit here?
We might
in
be.
General?
We might be.
Okay, all right.
Though
something to monitor?
Though, and I'm sure Zach will admit this, clay is, you know, a little different right here than it would be on other surfaces when you go up against the likes of Iga. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. And this is a faster clay. We're crescendoing to the slower clay as well. So it only gets harder for here for the Cocos of the world. Against someone like Iga, let me point that out. Okay, to the National Basketball Association. By the way, we were talking about the VSiN Killer Sports Challenge. VSiN Killer Sports NBA Playoff Challenge. I mentioned Kelly is in third. Look at the sneaky, freaky brother sneaking in from the rear. Zach Cohen, 11-8, right after that in fifth place. Let's go, Zach. Well done. You had two winners yesterday?
Yeah, I had the Timberwolves last night like everybody else did. And then I had the, God, I already forgot who played in the first game.
Rockets.
But I did have two winners.
Rockets, yes.
Yes, I had the Rockets.
let's start with that one. Game six back in San Francisco on Friday night. Warriors 4.5-point favorites trying to close out the Rockets. Otherwise, it's game seven back in Houston. Any thoughts on that game first?
Yeah, I kind of think that Houston's getting a few too many points. I do think there's a world in which the Warriors win a really close game. I just kind of think that the Rockets have played really well defensively all series, which is what we've expected. We've been waiting on them to kind of start making some shots, and now Fred VanVleet has started to get himself going. I think Şengün has figured out how to score in the post in this series, so I do think that Houston is playing a little bit better offensively and can compete with this Warriors team. I'm not sure what that means going forward. I think they dug a little bit too much of a hole at 3-1. But I do think that we could potentially see a game seven here, and maybe that's where the Warriors' experience helps them. But I do think the winner of this series ends up losing to the Timberwolves pretty easily.
Really? Because you've been on the Timberwolves all the way through. You've been Mr. Timberwolves on this. It to me, and you'll tell me where I'm wrong here, the Rockets on paper should beat the Warriors every time too, right? The size advantage is such, and we see it in the rebound totals every game. They should be crushing, but the Warriors have figured out a way thus far. The T-Wolves will have the same advantage, right? Size will be the big difference there as well. And the only question becomes, can the Warriors figure out a way out of that, assuming they get by the Rockets, which is a big assumption.
Yeah, I think that the Timberwolves have the same advantage in terms of size, like length and athleticism, but I also think that they have a lot more shot making than Houston does. I just think, you know, there's nobody like Anthony Edwards on Houston that you could roll the ball out to and for say, sure, go get us a bucket. And I don't think there's even anybody quite like a Julius Randle. I think that if they had him on Houston right now, that would help them. I just think that there's going to be a little bit too much of that in that series, especially when, you know, Steph's a little bit banged up. The Timberwolves have a few guys they can throw on him as well, you know, the way that the Rockets can. And I do think that, you know, Minnesota is just really, really deep, and not just deep with like decent players. They are deep with very good proven playoff players. Like those three guys that come off the bench, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Dante DiVincenzo, Naz Reid, those guys can be starting on a lot of different teams, and all of them can contribute in the postseason.
You have the T-Wolves to win the West, correct?
Yes, I have the T-Wolves to win the West twice, actually. I took it 20-1 and 33-1.
And I would imagine there's nothing you've seen so far that would dissuade, that would, you know, take away from your belief in them against the Thunder.
No, I mean, I took this hoping to hedge when they do face the Thunder, and hoping that like the number is good enough where I can make, you know, money either way. But I'm not going to hedge in the second round. I think that they're going to get there and face the Thunder.
I don't want you to hedge in the next round either. I want to see you. I want you to see it through. What about tonight? We have a pair of games. The Knicks look to close out the Pistons, but it's back in Detroit for game six. Pistons 1.5-point favorites. And then it is game six in Los Angeles. The Nuggets up 3-2 on the Clippers. Clippers trying to stave off defeat as well. They're 6.5-point favorites. What do you have tonight?
I have the Pistons money line. I said this to Kelly. Like, I've seen a lot of things that I think the Knicks could do that would help them win this series. I just don't think the Tibbs is going to do them. I think, you know, obviously everybody wants Brunson and Cat to run a lot more pick and rolls and to just get Cat involved more in general. Like, when he has Tobias Harris on him, he should be posting up. When, you know, Jalen Duren is there guarding on the perimeter, Brunson should be blowing by him and then, you know, looking for whatever advantages that they can create. They are not doing that. They are still relying on that Brunson hero ball, and he's banged up right now. They are kind of taking, you know, this Pistons defense that is 10th in the league and really not, you know, hurting their weaknesses in any way. So I think that that's not going to work the rest of the series. And Detroit has also figured New York out on the offensive end, where I don't think the Pistons really should be able to do that. I don't think, you know, the Pistons have a lot outside of Cade Cunningham that you could rely on a nightly basis, but the Knicks are allowing them to do it by, you know, making life easy on Tobias Harris. They're not guarding that Jalen Duren pick and roll very well. And Thompson is just floating along the baseline, dunking everything because the Knicks are falling asleep off the ball. I don't think that's going to change the rest of the series.
The only thing about that criticism of Thibodeau and having like Cat do pick and rolls, I don't know that Cat wants to do that.
It's possible. I mean, yeah, it's tough to ask a player like that to screen a lot, but I do think that, you know, a lot of it would be pick and pops. Like, he doesn't have to go, you know, get into the mud really, but they do need to run more with him. Like, they're just kind of wasting him out there. The fact that he and Tobias Harris have kind of been a wash as the number two options in this series has kind of been why I think the Pistons have, you know, outplayed the Knicks for most of it.
Pacers-Cavaliers is the only conference semifinal that we have established. We mentioned this yesterday. Cavaliers were about a minus 450 favorite. It's ticked up a little bit. It's inching towards a $5 favorite. Pacers plus 375 on the comeback. Any notion on betting the Pacers at that price, or are you just all about the Cavs here?
I like the Pacers +2.5 games. I saw that around minus 150. I just think that there's not as much that separates these two as most people do. I know Cleveland looked about as good as you could possibly look against Miami. And I said it to AVT and Kelly, like, I was really impressed with Kenny Atkinson. I think Eric Spoelstra is as good as it gets when it comes back to game-by-game adjustments in the playoffs. Atkinson did a better job than him. They got better as that series went on. But I do think that the Pacers, you know, dating back to December, have been a top seven or so team on both offensive defensive rating. I don't really see why the Cavaliers would blow them out. I know that this is a really explosive offensive team, but I like the way that Indiana's defended over the last 4 or 5 months, and I think that they're going to be able to score on this Cavaliers defense.
Cavaliers, Celtics, potential Eastern Conference Finals. Who are you backing?
I would take the Celtics. I mean, I thought that Boston is going, they went against a really good Orlando defense and kind of came out of it in an impressive way. I know that that Magic offense was a disaster, but I think that's the type of series that makes you stronger moving forward.
Zach, appreciate it, man. Good luck with all the bets.
Thank you.
Zach Cohen, everybody. Betting on X on Twitter. Senior editor. By the way, do you have a golf first round leader bet that you're sweating here?
Oh, let me check in on that, Gil. Oh man, bad timing. Sami Valimaki, I do have it 3 under par. He is 1 off the lead.
What's your number?
80-1.
Just a casual 80-1.
I got to comment on the series price when we come back.
Okay, we'll do that. And Mike Somich on the Derby next.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Whether you're placing your first bet or you've been playing the ponies for years, VSiN's Kentucky Derby betting guide has everything you need to get ahead on Derby Day. Inside the guide, you'll find a clear breakdown of how to bet on horse racing. Great for beginners. Love that. Detailed previews of both the Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks. And best bets from top racing experts to help serious bettors cash in. The guide is yours with a VSiN Pro subscription. Start today for just $9.99. Get your first 30 days of VSiN Pro, including the Derby Guide, daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, and more. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Trivia question for you, Kelly.
17.
What's that?
17's the answer, but go ahead.
What answer to what?
To your trivia question.
Oh, I was like, what? Here's a trivia question. What regular numbers game host was once a part owner of a Derby horse? A horse that participated in the Derby.
A numbers game host?
No, a numbers game guest, pardon me. What regular guest, did I say host? What regular guest of a numbers game, that would be a good one. What regular guest of a numbers game has actually attended the Derby as an owner? Who is it?
You ever have Jason Worth on?
No. It was 13.
Brian Ortega.
It was 13 years ago. No, but Brian Ortega. I ran into Brian Ortega yesterday.
His family's big in the horse racing business.
I ran into Brian Ortega on the crosswalk between the Cosmo and Crystals.
Oh, well, it's two men out on the town in Vegas every night.
By the way, in the middle of summer, that is the single hottest point of Las Vegas. That crosswalk, little trivia.
That doesn't surprise
me, between the Cosmo and Crystals, single hottest point. It wasn't hot yesterday. But I ran into Ortega. He's going to the Derby.
Good for him.
Producer of
I don't think he's here today, so that must be why.
His parents are coming up from Arizona. They're picking him up, and they're both going to the Derby.
Yeah, all three of them. I believe his father is involved in ownership of some horses.
Well, see, I asked him that, and he was like, no, we just bought tickets. I thought he was lying to me. I thought the man was lying in my face.
I think he's downplaying it.
Anyway, do you have an answer to the question?
Oh, no, not at all.
Joe Pita.
Oh, should have known.
Joe Pita, who was a part owner of El Padrino, R.I.P. El Padrino.
Okay.
By the way, El Padrino no longer with us, but that was 13 years ago. Mike Somich joins us to talk Derby right now. This is his time of year, everybody. You can follow him on Twitter at SomoBomb18. Do we have that?
No. Nope.
No, we don't. Mike Somich, SomoBomb18 on Twitter. He, of course, is a co-host of Ready, Set, Bet, and he does all kinds of horse racing shows. Remind us when the horse racing show that you do is every day.
Every Friday, we have VEASAN at the Track, Road to the Kentucky Derby. It's a live to YouTube show at 2:15 Eastern, 11:15 Pacific. This Friday, we're going to talk all about Saturday's card, the races that we're expecting to bet, the Kentucky Derby, obviously. But during the breaks, which are live on the YouTube channel, we'll also talk about our best bets on Friday. So make sure you tune in live over at VEASAN Live on YouTube. 2:15 Eastern, and then on Saturday at 4:00 Eastern, 1:00 Pacific, Aaron Halterman and I will have a special VEASAN at the Track, which will be on SiriusXM channel 158 on all the VEASAN apps, including the VEASAN Watch app, as well as YouTube TV, Roku, and then Mad Dog Sports Radio as well, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern, taking you up to the Kentucky Derby and then through it to break it down.
Wow, we don't even have time to talk about it. That is his entire schedule.
Somich, busy man.
Dude, it's a mouthful. It's a lot. No trivia questions, please.
You keep saying 2:15 p.m. and 11:15. The whole time we've been saying 2:10 and 11:10. Have we been lying that you're not on?
No, it was supposed to be 2:10, but then we pushed it back to 2:15 because it's easier with guests to do like 2:45 versus doing it 2:40. And so it's all over the place. But if you're there at 2:15, you'll catch the whole show, I promise.
I like the on-the-break conversations. We got to experience that for our last Long Shots taping that went live on YouTube, because you got to tape a show, but then the breaks are live still on YouTube. So like people are you get a nice behind the scenes look at how a show operates.
Yeah, Wyatt almost assassinated me on one of the previous breaks on this show. It's amazing. No, he didn't. Wyatt's mad at me. Okay, so let's go to the Derby itself. Let us start from, and let's do it from, as Denzel Washington said in the movie Philadelphia, let's explain it to us like I'm a 2-year-old here. How would you bet this if you're a novice who maybe bets on sports but is not familiar with betting horse racing? Walk us through what you're going to do.
So the easiest thing to do, just bet someone to win. Your horse has to cross the line first. That's the most simple bet that you can make in horse racing. And this specific race is a great race to do it. The last 5 years, we've seen a horse at least 8-1 or better win the Kentucky Derby. We saw Rich Strike win at 80-1 a couple years back. Last year, it was Mystic Dan at 15-1. The year before, Mage at 18-1. So you're going to get great win prices here if you try to avoid your favorite. And this year, our favorite's going to be Journalism, who 3-1 on the morning line. We've actually seen that float up. So we already have money flowing into the Kentucky Derby win pool. Right now, Journalism sitting right around that 4-1 number. Sandman is right now your second choice at 5-1. That's the number 17 horse. And that was the trivia question Kelly was answering. The post that's never won the Kentucky Derby is the 17 post, Kelly. So good job. Way to go. Way to answer the trivia question without it being
asked. Thanks, Mike. Yeah.
He's like Kreskin.
You know, hey,
take that.
Sometimes you're just on a heater, Kelly. So the 17 going to take quite a bit of money here. I would not bet Sandman because of that public money. You're going to get an underlay on him. For me, the 18 Sovereignty is the horse I'm going to be betting to win. So I'm just going to put a win ticket on number 18 Sovereignty. Ooh. Right now, 12-1 on the odds board, even though we're showing that 5-1 morning line. This is the horse, that's getting ignored. Sovereignty won at Churchill Downs last year as a 2-year-old over this dirt course. He was very good on debut in Florida this year. Third race off the layoff. All reasons you should expect Sovereignty to improve. And it's going to be a very, very fast pace. That means they're going to run super fast early, and the horses coming from the back are going to have an advantage, and Sovereignty, one of those horses that's a closer.
Sovereignty. I'm not going to just be ignored. That's what Sovereignty is saying. What movie is that from, Kelly?
No, I don't know.
Fatal Attraction. Sovereignty in the 18th. Can I ask you this about American Promise? Drew was on. Drew Densig was on earlier this week. He's all about American Promise. We were seeing some rumors yesterday on the old Twitter machine that American Promise might not go. What's that all about?
American Promise hasn't looked the best in the morning. So we'll see if we end up having American Promise in the gate. If American Promise scratches out, you're going to get Bieza, the 21 horse who draws in, and there's going to be a lot of talk about Bieza, who ran second to Journalism in the Santa Anita Derby. I will be using Bieza if Bieza does end up drawing in that 21 post. I'll be on the deep dive a little bit later, Gil. I will talk Drew off of American Promise.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Not, don't bet American Promise. Not a good horse to bet.
Wow. No.
Going to talk Drew off of American
Another Promise. Tease.
Okay, for the more sophisticated horse crowd, how are you betting this otherwise?
So I like betting the Kentucky Derby Superfecta. It is essentially the holy grail of betting in horse racing. It's a dollar minimum bet, so you're spending $1 per combination. Superfecta means the first four horses have to be in order. I wrote an article about this in the Kentucky Derby guide, so I have my small budget, medium budget, and large budget Superfecta listed in the guide if you want to go check that out. The average payout over the last 10 years for a $1 Superfecta has been $51,000 for the $1 bet. So I'm going to take a shot here. I'm going to use my lotto ticket on this one. If you are looking for a cheaper superfecta to bet, and this will be a little bit confusing, but I'll walk you through it here. You play a $1 superfecta, 8-18 with 8-10-18 with 3-8-10-14-18 with 3-8-10-14-18. That'll cost you $24.
And
what that means is the 8 or the 18 has to win the race, the 8-10 or 18 has to finish second, and then the 3-8-10-14 or 18 have to finish third or fourth. And it's a more sophisticated bet, but it pays out a lot of money every single year.
Okay.
Well, that sounds like a lock.
All right, rapid fire NBA. What are you betting in the NBA?
Give me both unders tonight. Under 213 in the Nuggets Clippers, under 212.5 in the Detroit and Knicks game. The Pistons Knicks, you got the Knicks who are missing or have two of their better players injured. Pistons are going to try and make this a battle, a rock fight really underneath. I think this game goes under easily. And then this is actually the highest total we've seen from Nuggets Clippers since game two. Another game where the Clippers, after that defensive mess in game five, are going to come back and play well. So I like the under both those games. Give me a couple dogs in hockey as well. The Wild, game six at home against the Vegas Golden Knights. They've actually outplayed Vegas in this series. I think the Wild get it done, force a game seven. I think the Kings force a game seven. They've also outplayed the Oilers in this series. So give me them plus 140 tonight. And then I think the Avs force a game seven at home as well. I'll lay the 1.5 with the Avs and take plus 140 there as well. So under in the two basketball games, Wild plus 140, Kings plus 140, and the Avalanche minus 1.5 plus 140 in the NHL.
So in the three hockey, so the easy way to remember it, both unders in the NBA and three teams to stave off elimination in hockey. The one that you're staying away from is Toronto and Ottawa. That also is a potential elimination game. And the other way to look at that is the Leafs are trying to prevent Ottawa from coming back from 3-0 to 3-3, which obviously would then put them on the cusp of some history. You don't want any part of that game tonight.
I don't want any part of that game tonight. I don't know how Toronto's going to respond to the pressure, which is only building every single game that you see this. Toronto is a storied franchise that has just had bad juju in the playoffs year after year. If they go back 3-3 to Toronto, the amount, it's an elephant on their back when they go back home into that arena. So I don't want any piece of it because I don't know how Toronto's going to respond to the pressure tonight.
A lot of folks in Ontario, a lot of folks in Toronto listen to this show through Game Plus, and I know that the pressure is massive on that hockey team, for sure. Haven't won the Cup since 1967, famously. Mike, Sovereignty it is. Thank you, sir.
Have a good one, guys.
Samobomb 18. Crack next.